Tuesday, November 26th. First reading from Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 through 19. I, John, looked, and there was a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud, one who looked like a son of man, with a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple, crying out in a loud voice to the one sitting on the cloud, "Use your sickle and reap the harvest, for the time to reap has come, because the earth's harvest is fully ripe." So the one who was sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven who also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel came from the altar who was in charge of the fire, and cried out in a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, "Use your sharp sickle and cut the clusters from the earth's vines, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and cut the earth's vintage. He threw it into the great winepress of God's fury. Haydock Commentary. One who looked like a son of man, that is, our Savior Christ, sitting on a white cloud with a crown of gold and in his hand a sharp sickle. The angel desired him to do justice by putting in his sickle because the harvest of the earth was ripe, dry, and withered, that is, the wicked ripe for punishment. The same thing is again represented by the sickle which is said to be put to the clusters of the vineyard, and they were cast into the great winepress, or lake of the wrath of God, into hell, where the blood is said to come out even up to the horses' bridles. This is a metaphorical way of expressing the exceeding great torments of the wicked in hell. The Gospel from Luke chapter 21 verses 5 through 11. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen, and what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky." Haydock Commentary. It was by the divine dispensation of providence that this city and temple were destroyed. For had the ancient rites and sacrifices continued, some that were but weak in their faith might have been filled with astonishment at the sight of these different modes of worship existing at the same time, and thus have been led astray from the path of truth. Many will come who shall take to themselves the name of Christ or Messiah, which is incommunicable to any but Christ. In effect, in less than 2 centuries, there appeared many false Christs and impostors who pretended to be the one that was to come, the desired of nations. Perhaps this prophecy is yet to be more expressly fulfilled before the dissolution of the world. Many pious and learned Christians suppose this passage to refer to the time of Antichrist. Regarding the awesome sights and mighty signs that will come from the sky, Josephus, in his History of the War, in which Jerusalem was destroyed by Titus, relates at length many of the prodigies which were the forerunners of the dreadful end of this unfortunate city. During a whole year, a meteor like a flaming sword was seen impending over the city. There were likewise seen in the air appearances of chariots and numerous armies which pressed one upon another. On the night of Pentecost, the priests, after a confused noise, heard distinctly these words, "Let us go hence," which are supposed to have been spoken by the angels who had hitherto guarded and protected the holy city, but now were taking their leave of it. Josephus was in the Roman camp before the city during the siege, and an eyewitness of what passed on the occasion.